Heavenly Father, help us as we look at this whole theme of friendship. Help us to think about it in terms of the gospel and how we can better serve one another when it comes to being better friends. And we ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. The story is told of Shah Abbas of Persia, who was frustrated with his inability to form friendships or intimate relationships with others. Whenever he met people, they would bow down to him out of fear and respect. So one day he decided to take off his royal robes and go to the servant quarters in disguise to see who he might meet. In a remote part of the building, he found the stoker, that is, the man who kept the fire burning, which heated the palace. They talked for a while, and in fact got on so well that Abbas continued to visit him over many, many weeks. They became so close, in fact, that after a while, the king thought to himself it was time to reveal his true identity. "I am Abbas, your Shah," he said. "And you are my friend, so I want to give you anything you ask for, up to half my kingdom." The stoker replied, "You've already given me the most precious thing this life affords, your friendship. I ask for nothing more." I want us to look at, firstly, friendship and the gospel. In the Bible, God speaks of those who belong to him as his friends. In Exodus 33 verse 11, we are told he spoke to Moses as one speaks to a friend. In Isaiah 41 verse 8, he describes Abraham as my friend. In the New Testament, in criticizing Jesus, some called him a friend of sinners. What a shame they missed the sheer wonder of what they were saying. That is Matthew 11 verse 9. In Luke 12 verse 4, Jesus calls his disciples my friends. So perhaps it should not surprise us that in John 15, during his upper room discourse, Jesus went on to say to his disciples and closest friends, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 15 verse 13. Self-help books will tell us that self-belief or self-love is the first step to forming strong friendships, but this fails to recognize that this solution is at the heart of our problem. You and I need a deeper love that comes from outside of ourselves in order to fix the self-centeredness that so often destroys relationships through careless, thoughtless words and actions, thus stopping us from forming good friendships. In our natural selves, you and I fail to love God and therefore others the way we should. Instead, we put our love of self first, thus spoiling our potential and longing for close friendships. But Jesus sacrificed himself for us to make us his friends even while we were his sinful enemies. So Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Often our earthly friendships are fragile and insecure because we feel we need to earn the approval and affection of those around us. Yet we never quite feel like we measure up. Not so with Jesus. Instead, we can be confident and secure in his relationship and friendship with us. If we are trusting, relying, depending on his death for us on the cross. If nothing else, I hope we all leave this meeting with a deeper sense of gratitude to God for his free gift of friendship in Christ Jesus and the friendships with one another that can and does flow out from that. I want to encourage us to be praying for one another that the Holy Spirit would make the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ as real to each and every one of us as any human friendship we've had to date. Because Jesus is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. He's that brother who sticks closer than the friend. Well, the next thing I want to look at is the different types of friendships. The different types of friendships. It's been suggested that the book of Proverbs, the Old Testament book of Proverbs, is a kind of treatise on friendship. Very few books put such a high premium on friendships and are so anxious to have us carefully maintain them. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. It's a book designed to help us live life in this world well. And the key to a wise life is to revere, to honour, or to fear God. Supremely, this means recognizing who he is and what he has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament idea of the fear of the Lord is to repent towards God while putting your faith or your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you and I journey on our pilgrimage through this life, the book of Proverbs warns us that there are two paths open to us. The paths of both wisdom and folly. In Matthew 7, I think Jesus would equate the path of wisdom with the narrow gate and its accompanying path, and the path of folly with the wide or broad gate and its accompanying pathway. I run a preaching group for local like-minded ministers in this area, and our motto verse is Proverbs 27 and verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Brothers, given the challenges in navigating life in 2020, we need to help sharpen one another. As men, we need to walk alongside one another, side by side, shoulder to shoulder. A 12th century writer highlights three types of friendships. First are carnal friendships that are based on some pleasurable pursuit. Now, this need not be a bad thing. It can be based on a common interest in football or golf or stamp collecting. Who knows? As men, it is often good if we have an activity we can do together. That's why it's been so great for some of us to go and play football together in Catford, although we haven't been able to do that for several months. But friendship can be both a school of vice and a school of virtue. Think stag night or visiting a strip club, as opposed to perhaps meeting with a group of friends to pray or study the Bible. As a teenager, for example, I had a school friend whose house I would go and play computer games at. This was great because we never had computer game console in our household when I was growing up. So it was a real treat to be able to go to his house and play computer games. But on one occasion, he also loaned me a pornographic video, which was not so great looking back. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, because a companion of fools suffers harm." Walk with the wise and become wise, because a companion of fools suffers harm. This is why, as a parent, when our teenagers left the house, we wanted to know where they were going and with whom. Second, there are worldly friendships. First, there are carnal friendships. Secondly, there are worldly friendships. These are based on mutual advantage, as in the case of business partners or work colleagues. Again, there need be nothing wrong or harmful with such relationships, depending on the goal or how they are pursued. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, perhaps many of us spent more time in these sorts of relationships than any other, given how many hours we spend at our place of work. In a passage that warns about the dangers of being influenced by those around us, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10 reads, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them." My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. At Proverbs chapter 1 verses 8 to 19, where this verse is taken from, could be summarized using Paul's quote of a Greek poet in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, which says, "Bad company corrupts good character." I know of a friend who, some years ago now, resigned his job because he was asked to do something unethical by a more senior work colleague. The danger with many of our very necessary worldly friendships is that as Christians, our thinking and conduct can subtly begin to be influenced and shaped more by our worldly friendships than by our Christian friendships, especially if the latter are not very strong. This is why Paul exhorted Christians living in Rome 2,000 years ago with these words: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." So there are carnal relationships, worldly relationships, but third and perhaps best or deepest, the deepest type of relationships are spiritual friendships. That is, relationships grounded or rooted in a mutual commitment to following the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are Christians, our best and deepest friendships should be with fellow Christians. I always slightly worry about Christians who claim to be more comfortable around non-believers than they are around other believers. Vaughan Roberts writes this in his book, True Friendships. Living unfriendly and friendless lives is both a rejection of God's purpose for us as his image and a dehumanizing tragedy. Furthermore, Genesis chapter 3 gives us this wonderful glimpse of God walking with his image bearers in the cool of the garden. The implication being that it was his regular practice to take a stroll with his image-bearing friends, Adam and Eve. Proverbs gives us a further insight into friendship with these words. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17:17. And wounds from a friend can be trusted. Proverbs 27 verse 6. Well, I want to move on to a friendship worth avoiding. A friendship worth avoiding. Henry Nouwen was an author who wrote best-selling books on spirituality. He wrote this about a close friendship that went wrong. Among my many friends, one had been able to touch me in a way I had never been touched before. Our friendship encouraged me to allow myself to be loved and cared for with a greater trust and confidence. Soon I discovered that the enormous space that had been opened for me could not be filled by the one who had opened it. I became possessive, needy, and dependent. And when the friendship finally had to be interrupted, I fell apart. I felt abandoned, rejected, and betrayed. And Nouwen came to understand with his heart what he already knew in his head, which was this. No friend or lover, no husband or wife, no community or commune will be able to put to rest our deepest cravings for unity and wholeness. If you are married, your wife should be your best friend. Obviously, your wife should be more than just a friend, but she should not be less. For those of us who are not married, a little bit of advice from someone who's been married for a little more than a quarter of a century now. Don't think lover first. And if I happen to like her as a friend, that's just a bonus or the icing on the cake. It's all too easy to be bowled over by a pretty face and a nice figure. Instead, think first in terms of a friend you can travel through life with and who has the same outlook and is on the same spiritual path as you. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 17 describes a spouse as the chief friend, guide or companion of your youth. Written in the time when women were considered property and when marriage was more like a business deal or a transaction, this is quite a striking description. It's no less striking in 2020 with its emphasis on romance and sex. Tim Keller, in his book on marriage, puts it this way. Marriage, of course, can add the power of romantic love to the natural and supernatural bonds of friendship. And this is what can make marriage the richest of all human relationships. Friendship is a deep oneness that develops as two people speaking truth in love to each other, journey together to the same horizon. And yet at the same time, it is vital to realise that you cannot and must not expect anyone but Jesus Christ to be your saviour. He alone is able to meet your deepest needs and satisfy your greatest longings. To expect your present or future wife, or any friendship for that matter, to bear the weight of such a burden or expectation will only spoil those relationships and cause them to break down. The demands that flow out from such neediness will eventually stifle or choke both our marriages and friendships rather than allowing them to flourish. Ask God the Holy Spirit to help you avoid overly dependent friendships or relationships. That is, friendships or relationships marked by emotional manipulation, control or dependency, jealousy and envy, or an unhealthy exclusivity. Often when I speak at weddings, I tell the new couple that they will need more than just each other as they make their way through life as husband and wife. Whether we are married or not, we should live by the principle that good friendships should strengthen a marriage relationship rather than threaten or weaken it. If it is doing the latter, it's probably a bad friendship that needs rethinking. The great 20th century Christian thinker Francis Schaeffer points to both the problem and its solution when he writes, "We are finite and therefore we do not expect to find final sufficiency in any human relationships, including marriage. The final sufficiency is to be found only in a relationship with God. If a man tries to find everything in a man-woman or a friend-friend relationship, he destroys the very thing he wants and destroys the one he loves." Okay, let's look at why we need good friendships. A couple of reasons why we need good friendships. Firstly, we need someone who will say the hard truths. We need someone in our life who will say the hard truths. We don't really watch the X Factor anymore as a family, but some of the auditions, if you have watched it, can be really painful to watch. Some wannabe pop star embarrasses themselves by publicly demonstrating for all to see that they could not hit a good note if their lives depended on it. And you're sitting there thinking, how can they be so deluded? Haven't they got any friends to tell them not to make such a fool of themselves? Well, Proverbs 29 verse 5 reads, "Those who flatter their neighbours are spreading nets for their feet." Those who flatter their neighbours are spreading nets for their feet. You and I need good friends who, rather than setting a trap for our feet, will have the courage to warn us that there is a trap up ahead. We can all be self-deluded at times, can't we? That's why we need good friends. Proverbs 27 verse 5 and 6 reads as follows, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." If you don't have a friend who can be trusted to give an open rebuke, can I encourage you to do something about that? I fear, brothers, that we are not willing to do this for one another often enough. But good friends are and should be. We all need true friends who will stab us in the front rather than in the back. We all need true friends who are prepared to be a thorn in our sides rather than part of our echo chamber. That's the first reason. The second reason we need good friends, we need someone who will keep our confidence. Someone who will keep our confidence. According to Proverbs 18 verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Although a true friend will at times need to be candid, he will also be careful how he uses his tongue. You can trust a good friend to do that. Proverbs 15 verse 28 says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." The heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Social media has perhaps made us more careless with our words compared with the days of mainly snail mail. And sometimes instead of speaking to person A, we instead justify speaking to person B about person A. Well, Proverbs 20 verse 19 warns us that a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, we are warned that a gossip can end up separating close friends. Proverbs 16 verse 28 and 17 verse 9. We're also warned that sin is not ended by multiplying words. So the prudent person holds their tongue. Proverbs 10 verse 19. You and I need to be the kind of friend who will not betray a confidence by speaking too much or by gossiping. Unless, of course, we are legally required by law to break a confidence. But often that won't be the case. Lastly, how to strengthen friendships. How to strengthen friendships. Just four things as I close. Practical steps that we might be able to take if we're conscious that some of our friendships have either fallen into disrepair or need strengthening. First, be selective. Try and find one or two other men, whether at Grace Church, Broccoli or elsewhere, whom you can build good friendships with.
The fact is, you simply cannot invest the same amount of time in all your relationships. Be selective. Ask God the Holy Spirit for wisdom and direction in finding a true friend. Secondly, be open. Women are generally much better relationally than us men. But as we open up to one another about our hopes, fears, dreams, and struggles, we might be surprised how it helps others to open up about their struggles, thus deepening our friendships. Thirdly, be interested. Friendships are often strengthened by good questions. From the more mundane questions like, how is work going and what are you doing for a holiday this year, to deeper, more important questions like, well, what are you reading in the Bible at the moment and how is it challenging you? How is it helping you? Or how can I pray for you this week? What are you struggling with? Or what about once a month getting together with a friend to ask one of the accountability questions that we're going to provide later on this month? Be selective, be open, be interested. Finally, be committed. Make time to see friends. This is really difficult, isn't it? London life makes us all very time poor, which means we are friendship or relationship poor. It's all part of the enemy's plan, though. So we will need to be patient and persevering, as well as committed. The Greek philosopher Aristotle rightly observed that the desire for friendship comes quickly. Friendship does not. The desire for friendship comes quickly. Friendship does not. So friendship and the gospel, the different types of friendship, friendships worth avoiding, and why we need good friendships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us in this area of friendships. We thank you for Jesus, that friend, that true friend who sticks closer than a brother. And because of him and through him, help us to build good friendships with one another. Help us to be Christian friends to one another, those who will encourage and spur one another on, those who will say that hard word that needs to be said, and those who will keep confidence. And we pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.